This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took a seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. I've always really loved the Road to Emmaus passage. If you're not really familiar, or if you can't really recall the context of this passage, this is the resurrection account in Luke. So earlier on in this passage, earlier on in Luke 24, we hear of the women going to the tomb and discovering that the tomb is empty and having this vision, and a stranger appears to them and tells them that Jesus is risen. And then they go and they tell the disciples, and the disciples don't really believe them. And so this is later on that same day, two of these disciples are heading back to their village called Emmaus. And I've always loved this passage. There's so many beautiful and powerful elements in this story. The thing that's always been the most striking to me is the fact that the disciples don't actually recognize Jesus, even though he's walking with them and he's talking to them. I've come across a lot of theologians and a lot of Bible scholars who have basically just said, well, we don't really know why they don't recognize him, and they've just kind of left it at that. And for a long time, I've just kind of accepted that fact to be what it was. But over the past week, as I was studying this passage, the thing that kept catching my eye was the fact that it doesn't only say that the disciples don't recognize Jesus. Verse 16 actually says that they were prevented from recognizing him. And I found that language to be kind of unsettling. Why don't the disciples recognize Jesus? How can they be walking alongside of Jesus and not know who they are journeying with? There's a few possible explanations here. One is that the disciples don't recognize Jesus because the disciples are ignorant or foolish. Cleopas rebukes Jesus for not knowing what has taken place over the last several days without realizing that the irony is the fact that Jesus is the only one who really does know what has happened. When the disciples recap everything that has happened, Jesus rebukes them in return by calling them foolish and by saying that they have dull minds. So perhaps the disciples don't recognize Jesus because they're ignorant. They are foolish. They have dull minds. They are so caught up in discussing how they think they need to interpret the events of the past few days that they don't even recognize the truth that is literally standing right in front of them. But Jesus isn't actually calling the disciples ignorant here. The use of the word foolish doesn't really translate to ignorant or moronic. It translates more to unaware or obtuse. Jesus isn't calling the disciples morons for misunderstanding the scriptures. He's merely calling out their lack of understanding. The disciples have dull minds, not because they lack some sort of proper education about the scriptures, but because they failed to fully orient themselves around Jesus' teachings. They failed to embrace the ways of God, the very ways that Jesus has spent years teaching them. Their lack of insight into the scriptures comes from that failure to embrace the ways of God. Another possibility here is that the disciples don't recognize Jesus because they're too overwhelmed by their own grief. As we process through grief, our natural process is to struggle to find a way to make meaning out of our loss. The disciples are heavily discussing everything that has happened in an attempt to find meaning out of their grief. The pain and fear and overbearing sadness that comes from loss is blinding. And this is especially true for the disciples, who not only did they lose their friend, but they lost their hope in this Messiah that would bring them redemption from oppression. Or perhaps the disciples simply don't want to recognize Jesus. Perhaps they're disappointed because Jesus didn't really fit their expectations for a Messiah. The disciples are right to recognize Jesus as a prophet, but what they fail to realize is that being a prophet, with that comes a certain destiny. And that destiny includes rejection, it includes suffering, and it ultimately leads to death. The disciples share in this long-awaited hope for a Messiah who would redeem Israel from oppression, but they didn't know how to reckon this messianic hope with Jesus' rejection and suffering and death. Perhaps the cross was such a failure, such an embarrassment to them, that seeing Jesus again would only mean facing their own shame and their own humiliation. Perhaps the disciples failed to see beyond the crucifixion into the possibility that Jesus can even continue to serve as Israel's Redeemer. And so maybe they don't recognize him because they don't want this to be their Messiah. And these are all possible explanations to why the disciples don't recognize Jesus. It really could be their ignorance. It could be their grief. It could even be their own lack of desire to want to recognize Jesus in such a way. But I don't think any of these explanations really fit. Jesus taught that in order to find truth, one must seek truth. And when he joins the disciples as they're walking down the road to Emmaus, the disciples are doing exactly that. They're discussing and they're ruminating over what they have seen of Jesus' life. They're attempting to understand the crucifixion. They're searching for meaning. And somehow, in the midst of that confusion, in the midst of their pain, their anger, and their grief, they are seeking resurrection without even knowing what it means. All of these things are questions that at some point every disciple wrestles with. All disciples, even us, have a responsibility to recognize Christ. It's a responsibility to find a way to understand the death and the resurrection of the Messiah, and to see how these things can possibly fit in with God's redemptive and missional purposes for all of creation. The disciples needed to understand how death and resurrection befits the Messiah before they were able to recognize the risen Lord. And so do we. All of us have a responsibility to see Christ, but but the sight requires divine assistance. For the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the identity of Christ couldn't be obtained merely through human observation. It wasn't enough to actually see Jesus. It's a truth that was instead revealed through opening the scriptures and through the breaking of bread. And we too don't come to an understanding of who Christ is on our own. It is through the prevenient grace of God's Holy Spirit, a grace which goes on before us and allows us to encounter Christ somehow through the word and the sacraments. Last week, Pastor Matt preached about Jesus encountering us even when we're in doubt. And if I'm honest, I've been struggling a lot with doubt over the past several weeks. And even though that was a beautiful sermon, I still found myself leaving in doubt. I found myself not believing those words. I found myself wondering whether or not Jesus truly does encounter us or whether or not Jesus even wants to encounter us. And perhaps in recent weeks or at some point in your life, you've felt those feelings and you've experienced those thoughts as well. And if you have, that's okay. But if there is one thing that the story of Thomas and that the story of the road to Emmaus tells us, it's that Christ does continue to encounter us, even when we are in doubt and even when we don't recognize the presence of Christ. The road to Emmaus reveals to the disciples that the crucifixion was God's plan all along. The cross is not the chaotic interruption that it's appeared to be over the last several days. It's the ending that God intended from the start. And this story also tells us that the promise of resurrection is stronger than our fear, our confusion, and our doubt. Christ encounters us even when we're struggling to find meaning in the crucifixion. Christ encounters us even when we admit that our hopes for redemption have been shattered. And Christ encounters us through word and sacrament, even when we do not recognize it. And that is good news. Our failure to see resurrection is not the result of our own ignorance, and it's not the result of our own lack of desire to recognize Christ. Even when we fail to recognize it, the risen Christ is still somehow revealed to us in the opening of Scripture, in the breaking of bread, and in the life that is found all around us. We have never known doubt and fear as we do right now. Every day we're met with new uncertainties and new loss as guidelines are changed and as plans are canceled. We have fears and questions, and we have anxiety knowing that this entire situation is completely beyond our control. As we go into this next week and we take things day by day, may you know that you are not alone. May you know that this church is here for you. And may you know that even when we cannot see it, even when we don't believe it, Christ is risen and Christ encounters us anew. Let's pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, would you allow us to recognize Christ today? We are anxious about things that are beyond our control. Some of us are filled with anxiety over loss of income and loss of work. Some of us are living in fear of sickness. Some of us are overwhelmed by grief, and some of us are even troubled by doubt. Open our eyes that we may behold resurrection, that we may behold Christ, and that we may behold your missional, redeeming work in the world around us and in our own lives. All of this we pray through Christ and with Christ and in Christ. All praise, honor, glory, and power are yours now and forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.